Revêtez-vous de l'homme nouveau. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Ces paroles de Saint Paul nous font penser aux cérémonies du baptême. Dans l'Église primitive, les catéchumènes enlevaient de vieux habits qui sont un symbole du vieil homme dans son état de péché originel, descendaient dans les fonts baptismaux, furent baptisés et puis en remontaient pour recevoir la vestis candida, la robe blanche resplendissante, un symbole de l'homme nouveau en état d'innocence de baptême. Cette robe rappelle naturellement la première robe, la robe réservée à l'enfant prodigue après son retour à la maison du Père, laquelle est en soi un symbole de la gloire resplendissante qu'entoure Adam et Ève dans le jardin Éden. Une manifestation de leur innocence originelle. Comme l'enfant prodigue, nous ne retournons à la maison du Père qu'en levant nos habits souillés, en recevant le baptême et en nous revêtant de l'homme nouveau. Dans la pratique, qu'est-ce que cela veut bien dire? Écoutez de nouveau les paroles de Saint Paul. Revêtez-vous des sentiments de miséricorde, de bonté, d'humilité, de douceur, de longanimité, vous supportant les uns les autres et vous pardonnant réciproquement si l'un a sujet de se prendre de l'autre. Comme le Seigneur vous a pardonné, pardonnez-vous aussi. Tout comme l'orgueil est le commencement de tous les péchés, l'humilité est le commencement de toutes les vertus. En plus de ces principes généraux, Saint Paul s'adresse aux gens des différents sociaux avec des mots justes, en amorçant là où le lectionnaire d'aujourd'hui s'arrête. Vous, femmes, soyez soumises à vos maris comme il convient dans le Seigneur. Vous, maris, aimez vos femmes et ne vous aigrissez pas contre elles. Vous, enfants, obéissez en toutes choses à vos parents, car cela est agréable dans le Seigneur. Vous, pères, n'irritez pas vos enfants, de peur qu'ils ne se découragent. Des mots aussi faciles à comprendre que difficiles à exécuter. C'est seulement avec l'aide de Dieu, aide que nous ne trouvons que dans la prière, que nous serons capables de commencer à vivre de cette façon. Quelle joie, cependant, pour ceux qui persévèrent dans la prière. La paix du Christ commencera à régner dans vos cœurs. La parole du Christ demeurera en vous avec abondance sous l'inspiration de la grâce que vos cœurs se penchent vers Dieu en chant par des psaumes, par des hymnes, par des cantiques spirituels. Enfin, quoi que vous fassiez, faites-le de bon cœur, comme pour le Seigneur, et non pas pour des hommes, sachant que vous recevrez du Seigneur pour récompense l'héritage céleste.
Behold, the house was filled with the glory of the Lord. Those who have been paying close attention to the propers of the liturgy beginning last Sunday, continuing today, will recall that the introit, as well as other of the propers, are the same. This only happens at this time in the liturgy. What is going on? The choir has it right, don't worry. I suggest that the Holy Mother Church has provided for us a little pre-Advent time, similar to the time in Lent. We have those Septuagesima Sundays to prepare us for Lent. Similarly, the Church is signaling to us that we are in the pre-Advent period. That is in the Missal. If you look in the Roman breviary, you will notice that also last Sunday, the historical readings left off, and we begin now again to read the great cycle of the prophets, another sign that we are in a pre-Advent time, looking for the Messiah. And so you see that the introit today, Holy Prophet Jeremiah, crying out, Jeremiah, a prophet of exile. The breviary begins, or rather began, last Sunday with Holy Prophet Ezekiel, also a prophet of exile, around the 6th century BC. Remember, Jerusalem was destroyed around 586, and those different Babylonian captivities. And so Ezekiel cries out from exile. Now today, we would begin the second week of November and continue in the readings of Holy Prophet Ezekiel, except for some strange happenings. As you know, the 20th century was a bit rough on the Roman liturgy, and in 1960, they decided to rewrite all the rubrics. And in so doing, the second week of November vanished. And so it wasn't always done with the most care, as you know. And so there is no longer any second week of November. It's just gone. Poof. Well, that's okay. You have me to afflict you with the second week of November from Holy Prophet Ezekiel. So what were the readings that vanished? My favorite part, of course, the second half of Ezekiel. We'll get to that in a moment. The first half, which we did read last week, about the exile, very dark songs like Jeremiah, crying out, how long, O Lord? How long must we wait for the restoration of the kingdom, the rebuilding of the temple, the coming of the Messiah? How long? And that is the cry of the prophets. But in the second bit, the second half of Holy Prophet Ezekiel, you have these two, well, many beautiful passages. And so I suggest if you have some leisure today, you'll use your Sunday profitably and read maybe just the first bit of Ezekiel chapter 43 and the first bit of Ezekiel chapter 47. They're very beautiful. And in my final point, I'll just pull out a little bit to encourage you therein. A theme for Ezekiel is that, well, I'll just read it. An angel comes to Holy Prophet Ezekiel and says this. Ezekiel is reporting now the experience, Ezekiel 43. Afterwards, he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looks towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was as the voice of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. Many times in Holy Prophet Ezekiel, you have this image of the glory, the majesty of the Lord returning from the east. You will recall this glory. I mentioned it in the epistle in the French homily. The glory that some of the fathers say was with Adam and Eve in the garden in the state of innocence. The glory of the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity, perhaps the fathers say, provided clothes, as it were, for them. A robe of glory. The first robe. That's a very beautiful image. You will recall also the manifestation of the glory of the Lord. Many times in the Old Testament, in a glory cloud, the theophany to Holy Father Moses on Mount Sinai, when the glory cloud, that Shekinah, came down itself even and consecrated both the tabernacle of Moses and later the Temple of Solomon, was not consecrated by human hands, was consecrated by the glory of the Lord itself. But as you know, when the ark was lost, Holy Prophet Jeremiah speaks of this, hiding the ark. For when they went into captivity, they did not wish to leave it, and they did not wish for it to be despoiled. And so Holy Prophet Jeremiah hid it. And it says, no man shall know that resting place until the glory of the Lord shall return. And so this is on the mind of Holy Prophet Ezekiel. How shall this glory, the dwelling of the Lord, return to Israel? As you see, this is precisely what we should be thinking of in this pre-Advent time. Once Advent begins, we join once again the prophets, mystically sitting in darkness, longing with eager expectation for the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christus. And so we can begin even now to stir up those sentiments, to long for the coming of the Messiah. Not the first coming of the Messiah, that is an historical event, the incarnation of our Lord in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. At that moment, the tabernacle of the Lord, Our Lady's Immaculate Womb, was truly filled with the glory of the Lord. That is the first coming of our Lord. And there are many other lesser comings of the Lord. We think of the great coming at Pentecost. That was a great coming of the Lord. We think at the end of time, to which the readings of the last Sunday after Pentecost will bring us, as well as the first Sunday of Advent, the end of the world, the parousia. That is a coming of the Lord. But in the meantime, right now, we also wait with eager longing and expectation for those little comings of the Lord. We wait for him right now. He will appear very shortly on the altar, hiding himself under those appearances of bread and wine. We long for him, as the psalmist says, as the deer pants for the waters, so our souls long for him to receive him devoutly in the Holy Communion. That is another coming of the Lord, filling a little tabernacle, a little dwelling place of the Lord with his very presence, body and blood, soul and divinity. And so today, as you go home with these thoughts, hopefully, I leave you with this another verse from Holy Prophet Ezekiel. You might make it a prayer time today or during the week. The majesty of the Lord came by the gate that looks towards the east, and the Spirit took me up and brought me into that inner court, and behold, the house was filled with the glory of the Lord. God bless you, and Ave Maria.